104 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. That's on me. I gave Fleeks the wrong song there. Or the wrong video to play there. It's all good. It's all good. We know how to react. We know how to roll with the punches here on After Hours. I'm like, lower it. I don't know what they say in that video. All good. All good.
She was like five. It's probably five.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it was clean. But you have no idea. But it's also just like, I want to get to the part of the song that I like, and I don't need the dialogue here. It's like watching a video here where it's like, hey, cut through this stuff, and I don't need the dialogue. Let's get to the good stuff, which I wanted to get to in that song. It's one of my favorite songs there, the late, great Avicii. It's amazing, but it's one of the benefits of winning a championship. You have the parade on Thursday, and now the draft is tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. But that's why Leon Rose and James Dolan, when Dolan was on with Craig and McGlagagal, he said, look, I already spoke to Leon. Yeah, you better have. I mean, the draft is this week. The offseason has started. And as much as I'm still celebrating the championship, as much as I'm still reliving the parade, and I got to watch it on TV over the weekend, and I'm still thinking about the speeches. I'm still thinking about some of the horrible ones. I mean, Mamdani was good. The delivery was good. The more I thought about it, talking about the history of the team, all well and good. I heard Gio talking about this too, and he's spot on. We need to stop with let's not compare 9/11 to sports, please. Can we stop doing that? But outside of that, all good. The other political people that were up there, I mean, geez. I would have rather heard from anybody other than them. Let's hear from Carl Anthony Towns. Let's hear from players. Let's hear from coaches. We can hear from the mayor, certainly, the ownership, the whole nine. But come on. Especially if you call Jalen Brunson Jalen Brown, you should immediately be removed from the premises. But I'm still kind of basking in that glory. But I, not only as a fan, but as a sports talk host, I now have to pivot to the offseason. Because the draft is tomorrow, and there's already a ton of talk about the offseason because of what Dolan said with Craigie, and that is the dreaded second apron. It's sort of a dirty phrase in basketball, but here's why the Knicks are in good shape if they get to the second apron. They just won a championship. They're trying to retain their players. They're not trying to add outside players. So any handcuffs that would exist under normal circumstances in the second apron, it won't apply to the Knicks. The Knicks can run it back. They could go to the second apron. And then they can get out of that second apron. And all the things that are negative about that apron are not going to apply to this Knick team. So I'm sure once Leon Rose, assuming he is good with running this back, he's going to explain that to James Dolan. He's going to present that to James Dolan. Unless you think they've already have because they talked already, but forget about they made a lot of money this year. They made so much money. What were the Knicks crying poor? They didn't have a GoFundMe account set up for money prior to this. They're the Knicks. So yes, they made money a lot in this championship run. They had a lot of money before that. The bottom line is they won a championship. And to me, that is more about why, hey, I'd rather you go into the second apron. This team has earned the right to defend their crown. They've earned the right to run it back, all these players. And we're talking about mainly the bench guys, but still Carl Anthony Towns, who's up for an extension here. Now, you don't want to give him the max extension, and hopefully Carl Anthony Towns takes a page out of the Jalen Brunson handbook where he takes the hometown discount, but Cat is up for an extension. I would do that because we're already hearing, maybe trade Carl Anthony Towns. Cat's going to be gone in a couple years. I would keep this core, and by core, I mean the starting five, which I think is the best starting five in the league. I would keep them together as long as humanly possible. Carl Anthony Towns will age well. He will. He's not Giannis. Giannis won't age well. He's already not aging well. Giannis can't shoot. He doesn't have a go-to offensive move. He's a liability at times offensively. He can't hit free throws. Carl Anthony Towns is a great shooter. One of, if not the best, shooting big men of all time. He is going to age well. So his contract and his extension would age well. So if I'm Leon Rose, to me, that's top priority. is you extended Bridges last year. Now it's time for Karl Anthony Towns. So there's no cloud hanging over the head of this starting five. Obviously, when you have to extend Josh Hart, you will as well. But Anunoby, Brunson, they're under contract for a while. Bridges, you just extended. Cat, he's got a year left and I think a player option after that. Extend him, and he's up for an extension this offseason. That, to me, number one priority. Not chronologically, because you have the draft tomorrow night. But extending Karl Anthony Towns, top priority. And a player, I believe, will age well being Karl Anthony Towns because he can shoot. Giannis will not age well, so let him go to Miami. Let him go to Boston. Let him go to OKC. The Knicks were always better off without him. He needed the Knicks more than they needed him. Our longstanding nightmare of having to hear about this guy will soon be over. Wouldn't stun me at all if he's on the move tomorrow. So let it be whoever. Miami with Giannis is still a 5 seed, 6 seed, maybe a 4 seed. I don't think they pose a major threat. Plus, you're going to have to give up somebody. So you're going to give up what? Tyler Hero, who's a pain in the neck. Good. Get rid of him. A guy who's young and actually could shoot for Giannis, who can't play a full season. And I think his game will continue to deteriorate. OKC makes a ton of sense, too, because they have a million picks. Sure, go there. And I'm sure they want to get rid of Chet Holmgren, who is gutless in Game 7 against the Spurs. I mean, just complete cowardly effort by him. Let him go to Boston, Holmgren, so that Kat and Mitchell Robinson, who I believe will be back, could eat his lunch. Now, as far as Mitchell Robinson, there was a report that came out on Sunday that he is interested and open to coming back to the Knicks. I'm paraphrasing, but essentially, I'll get it right for you here. Let me pull it up. So this was NBA Insider, Jake Fisher. He reported it in the Mark Stein's Substack that Mitch is, quote, very open to remaining with the Knicks. And again, this is where the second apron comes into play, but I don't want to choose between my children here, so to speak. I want Mitch back. I want Shamet back. Landry Shamet, I'm not going to talk about him like he's a dime a dozen. This is a guy that's not afraid to take and make big shots. Not everybody's wired that way. Yeah, you could find somebody that can hit three-pointers, but find me a guy that also has the goyunes to take those three-pointers in the big spots. Landry Shamet is that. And when you talk about their role players, their bench players, so you get rid of a few, you bring in a few more, you reshuffle the chairs, so to speak. I don't want to mess with the chemistry of this team. I don't want to mess with the connectiveness of this team. I don't. And I truly believe through the power of friendship, the Knicks won a championship. Shamet obviously has, you know, he goes back with Mikal Bridges. They were teammates. Alvarado, teammates with Josh Hart, both of them in New Orleans. Obviously, Shamet and Mikal in Phoenix. I don't want to mess with that. I don't want to say, oh, Shamet, you're gone. Mitch, the longest tenured Nick. Oh, we're just going to bring in somebody else. We're just going to replace you with somebody else. And we're just going to insert you into this team. And then, like, this group has grown through the years. And they that chemistry that was on full display throughout this playoff run, where at times they looked like the Warrior Dynasty teams. With ball movement and one heartbeat. And yeah, you got the starting five. They're not going anywhere. And if you extend Karl Anthony Towns, certainly none of the five are going anywhere for a very long time. It extends the window, too, that this team has to win a championship. Karl Anthony Towns, equally important as anybody in that starting five for the Knicks winning a championship. Had the best plus-minus of anybody in playoff history. Was the finals MVP through the first two games. Played better defense on Wemby than anybody else did. He was terrific. And everything changed when they started running the ball and offense through Karl Anthony Towns. So Cat got his touches. He was able to facilitate. He was able to score the basketball. His defense, really, I thought from the second half on, was the best defense he's ever played in his career. It was the best basketball he ever played in his career. I think Karl Anthony Towns will age well as a player in the NBA because of his ability to shoot. But I don't know what the chemistry is going to be like. I don't know if you're bringing in players with winning DNA who are going to get down with the power of friendship, which is what the Knicks have. So I'm not going to be necessarily dismissive of... I trust Leon. In Leon, we trust. But I think this team has deserved... This team has earned... That's the better way of putting it. The Knicks have earned the right to run this back. Everybody. It's not going to be easy keeping Mo Diawara. It's not going to be easy keeping Mitchell Robinson, especially if a team comes in and overpays. And if that becomes the conversation, then I understand the Knicks' viewpoint. But all things equal, and I think they can be here, and I'm not going to worry about a second apron. And not because the Knicks made a ton of money in this run. They had a ton of money already. It's more about keeping this team together. Not just the starting five, but everybody. This was a special group. Dominating at times. Historical at times. Never say die attitude. And really, from Brunson all the way down, every player that got minutes in the playoffs contributed. Everybody. Everybody had their moment. Clarkson and Alvarado in round one when Bridges was struggling. When OG went down against the Sixers, Shamet had his moments. Deuce had his moments. Mitchell Robinson with the great offensive rebound in game five of the NBA Finals. Alvarado with the unbelievable performance in game four against the Spurs. Everybody contributed. And yeah, I like a lot of these young players. I mean, Bridges was right, and Bridges had some week. I mean, that live stream is one of the all-time live streams. It was great content week for Knicks. I mean, you had OG Anunoby, Good Morning America, or Football, whatever the hell it's called. Oh, America, right? Football's the football show, obviously. Yeah, Football in a Groin had Football in a Groin. Good Morning America with OG just staring into space, we'll call it. Mikal Bridges feeling himself on his live stream, we'll call it. The twerking video at the parade, which is one you have to watch a few times, where you just have the... You wonder if they were... You're just watching this going, only in New York City is that going to happen. And only in New York City would people order food at a parade. You know, how do you tell the people that ordered food at the parade and they were in the middle of the mass of humanity? What do you tell the delivery people? Hey, can you... I'm between Delancey Street and Fulton Street. And I'm wearing Nick gear. How the hell do you find the person that ordered the food? Somebody got the food. I don't know if it was the right people. But the sights and sound. Oh, and how about the guy licking toes? Only in New York City could somebody be licking toes at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's perfectly acceptable. I mean, anywhere else that would be. What are you doing? Licking toes. Whatever you want to do behind closed doors or after hours is fine. But in the middle of daylight, you're sucking toes? Not that there's anything wrong with that, but... In the middle of broad daylight? So we had twerk fighting, toe sucking, ordering pizza in the middle of the parade in a mass of humanity. One dude climbed that tree all the way to the top. I mean, geez, just to get a look. Mikal Bridges' live stream, OG Anunoby, let's call it staring into space. The Roommates podcast that we had where they got Stephen A. Smith apologizing. It's been quite a week for the content. And yeah, even James Dolan with the second apron stuff. Which I know, you hear a second apron, what's the second apron? Bottom line is this. You don't have to spend hours studying the second apron like Evan does. Just know this. The Knicks can enter the second apron. They wouldn't be handcuffed by the second apron. And they can get out of it. That's all. And I think this team has earned the right to defend their crown by bringing the entire team back. And the development of Diawara, Kolek, Dottier, and whomever they draft coming up here. And the Knicks still have a situation where you got 24, 31, and 55. So one first-round pick. The second round pick, which I think they got in a trade. I think that's from the Wizards. But either way, so you got two relatively early picks that you could do something with. And if you wanted to trade one of them back to get a pick in a future year, I'm fine with that. But the Knicks have put themselves in a situation here where you win a championship, you can enter the dreaded second apron and still be okay because it's about retaining the players, not about adding players. So that's the key on that one. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is Loogie here in the late night. Let's go to Tony in Montreal. What's up, Tony?
How you doing, Luke?
Great. How you doing?
No, I'm doing okay. I'm just listening to what you're saying about Wemby. And I got to say, you know, a sore loser, supposedly the poster boy for the NBA. I don't think he played that great. He played 30 minutes a game. He was tired. And you know, Luke, when he was taking those free throws, he looked like he was hyperventilating.
No, he was exhausted. The moment was too big for him. Maybe a case of both.
Exactly.
He's got to hit the gym. This is me saying this. He's got to hit the gym. I probably should hit the gym as well. But he's got to hit the gym, and he's got to put on some bulk, some mass, some weight, probably 20 to 30 pounds. And he's got to learn a little lesson in professionalism because, I'm sorry, when you walk off the court like a spoiled brat baby and you're not shaking hands, I mean, it's a bad look.
Like, it's like unbelievable, you know? You look at him, and then you compare him to Jalen.
Oh,
Jalen is the epitome of a sportsman.
Yep.
Like, he's got it going. He's got it going. His dad's coaching. Mm-hmm. His dad was a journeyman that played in Australia, played
yes.
in how many different sub-leagues, then played as a role player, a journeyman in the NBA, never quit. Yes, Jalen's got his girlfriend from high school, his hometown, Honey.
Yeah, he's married still his with high school he sweetheart. Said, yep.
And he told her, I'll always take care of you when her father died. You look at Jalen. I'm a guy from Montreal. I love Jalen. I said to Montreal radio, they're talking about free agents for hockey players. I said, you find me a Jalen Brunson hockey player, then I'd be interested. Otherwise, forget it. Jalen Brunson, okay, I loved him since last year because I don't know a lot, Loogie, but I love the Knicks, okay? Mm-hmm. And when I saw him playing last year, I said, this guy looks like a running back going into the paint. Or he looks like a hockey player.
Yeah, no fear.
And he's got Mark Messier's mind. I'm bringing the ring. I'm going to do it. I love it.
Yeah, a lot of parallels, except for the fact that Messier obviously won a bunch of cups before he got here. Brunson did not. But Messier was more of a hired gun, and Brunson was more about the player that, and thankfully Leon Rose had this foresight, the guy that we're going to bring in to build our team around. And the Knicks certainly did that.
And you know what I like is he puts his hands together and he looks up to God before every game.
Listen, I can't think of a better person or a better player to represent a franchise than Jalen Brunson. And I mean that. I think he's a stand-up dude. I think he's a hard worker, and he's obviously a great player.
It makes me emotional when I see him do that because me and my dad were tight, okay? And when I see him love his dad.
Yeah. Well, especially here, Father's Day just took place here on Sunday, and the bond between Jalen and Rick is obviously a deep one, and they have a very special relationship. And Rick, you mentioned it was not even close to the player that Jalen Brunson is, but I don't think Jalen Brunson would be close to the player he is without his dad.
Listen, a lot of plumbers in sports, what I mean by plumbers, guys that are journeymen, they know what it takes to be great because they don't have that talent. But you know what?
Work ethic
that
they have kid, to have when just I watched, to be in the NBA. Yeah. So yeah.
That one time, like, I'm looking at Jalen come in, but what I noticed, they say he's not fast. I'm not interested in fast. I'm interested in quick.
Yeah,
he's
sudden.
When he's sudden. When he gets into the paint, I remember on one drive, he's looking, and his head is on a swivel, and he's looking up, and he sees the guys that are defensing him. He takes the ball from his right hand, throws it to a left, and he looks left, and he gives the head fake, and they all go that way, comes back, puts it in his right hand, and drives it into the basket.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to me, and he falls down. He falls down. He's not a crybaby. He gets up, and you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You guys said it. That team, Josh, Kat, Alvarado, Mikal Bridges, they love each other, Matt.
Sure do.
If the New York Mets had that love for brotherly love on that team. No one could beat the Mets. But you know what? Nobody's going to beat Jalen. If Jalen's at 100% and he keeps his five together and Leon keeps that team together, and you got to shout out to Leon. And yeah. You got to shout out to the and the ownership.
No, absolutely, Tony. And I think they're going to do everything in their power to keep this starting five. And that's why the top priority this offseason is extending Karl-Anthony Towns, who's up for an extension. Now, you don't want to give him the max extension. Hopefully, Kat takes a page from JB, who took a pay cut, took a hometown discount in order to better his team, better his legacy, create this winning environment. And there's already chatter about Kat getting traded, Kat not being a Knick for the rest of his career. Karl-Anthony Towns is an integral part of this team. This starting five, which I believe is the best starting five in the NBA, needs to stay together for as long as humanly possible. It would extend this championship window even longer. And you wouldn't have that, because Karl-Anthony Towns also, I think a lot of the Giannis stuff bothered him this year, and once the trade deadline came and went, he was able to refocus, he was able to block out the noise because it was in the rearview mirror, and he played his best basketball of his career. I think this stuff coming up with his contract will wear on him. Sign that extension, get locked up long-term. Now you have Mikal locked up long-term, Jalen, OG, Josh would be next, and you have this starting five together for a very, very long time. Why would you not want that as an organization? And also, if you're Kat, you've seen what it's like in Minnesota. You want to go back to a place like that, or you want to do it here in New York? I would think you'd want to be here. And if you have to take a little bit of a pay cut to make more later in your career and have a better team, better legacy, and win more championships and shut up the doubters and the naysayers, you want to keep Shaq and Barkley saying nice things about you? Then stay in New York and stay with this team. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. Got another 25, 30 minutes to go here before Al and Jerry and the warm-up show come your way at 5 a.m. The phone number to join the conversation, if you haven't already, is 888-808-1019. It is after hours. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. 432 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is after hours here on The Fan. Another 28 minutes to go before Al and Jerry come your way at 5 a.m. If you missed anything from the show, you can go back on the Odyssey app, the Rewind function, and you can download the show as well wherever you get your podcasts. We'll get back to your calls in just one second. But first, The Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. We're all about predictions here, so I'm going to give everybody a prediction for the basketball season next year, for the 2027 Knicks, because I was all over it with the 2026 Knicks. I said Knicks in 26. That obviously came to fruition. But now here's my projection and my prediction for the Knicks next season. The Knicks will be back in the finals. The Spurs will be back in the finals. We will have a rematch, Knicks-Spurs. And we will have the same exact outcome. The Knicks will beat the Spurs once again to go back-to-back. Back-to-back championships, back-to-back chips, back-to-back parades for the Knicks. With just one difference. This time, Wemby is going to shake Jalen Brunson's hand. That's right. The sore loser, spoiled brat, Wemby, after he gets beat again in the finals by Jalen Brunson, Wemby's going to have no choice but to shake Jalen Brunson's hand. So there's your prediction. Knicks go back-to-back. They win the championship next season. They beat the Spurs again. But this time, instead of storming off the court and being a poor sport, Wemby will have no choice but to shake Jalen Brunson's hand.
888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. Lugie in the late night here on The Fan. Alan Jerry coming your way at 5 a.m. Don't worry, it's only an hour, and most days it doesn't suck. Actually, I think every day it's funny. Now, I only get to hear it one day, so I assume the other 4 days are good. Like, they might only... Monday might be their best show every week, but I assume they're just getting started, and they're like Greg the Hammer Valentine, where they need 15 minutes just to warm up. So I think Monday, depending on the Monday, you know, that's going to be their good show, but then they're great by the end of the week. But I could tell you this, it doesn't suck. It's very funny. I find it very, very funny. And it allows me to realize like some of the things I can say on the radio. Like Al uses the one word. I heard him saying, I'm like, I know we have drops of that word being said, but I still don't know. I never found myself saying it on the radio. It starts with a B. Put it that way. Little homework assignment, if you can come up with what I'm thinking about. 888-808. Let me put it this way. It's how I feel when I'm watching the Knicks win a championship. It's something that happens to my body. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation as we wrap up a big Lugowski of 5 hour after hours here with your calls. Let's go to Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
How dare you make me hold on so long? I got crap to do. Tommy, now that we witnessed the second best championship run in New York history, I want to call you out and everybody else too. All these years we've been talking about Philadelphia fans and Boston fans, and yet we throw an egg at a player. I can't stand Wemby, but let's call it what it is. We can do it now, right?
Not all the behavior was perfect. I don't know if they were all Knicks fans. Not everything was perfect. I was critical of people that acted out and acted a fool and ruined it for others. I'm not 100% sure they're even Knicks fans to begin with. I don't condone behavior like that. I don't condone anything that certainly breaks the law or that's like classless.
Philly fans then. That's all I'm saying.
What are you signing with Philly fans? So what are you like a support? What are you a Philly a supporter? I could call out Philly fans.
No, I'm a Giants fan. I'm saying, but Brett, then you're a hypocrite.
Not necessarily, because I still think.
So what's the definition of a hypocrite? If you're calling out those fans for acting, like
I called out both.
What a
sorry, but I called out both.
All right, but all these years, I'm saying we finally won. That's the point I guess I'm making. Because we finally won, we acted the way those guys acted when they won multiple times.
Because you're saying you're selecting a few people that we still don't even know if they're their actual fans or if they were just there, you know, aura chasing or aura farming or just being part of something. And we're talking about really an entire city.
Still a
of
representation
people.
Of our city, though. We can blame everyone. It's still here. But how about this? I can't stand Wemby either. But how about you, Tommy?
What?
Somebody throws an egg at your head. You're going to be fine and shake hands and everything's.
Did Jalen Brunson throw an egg at Wemby's head? Now you're a supporter of Wemby, too?
I just said I can't stand the guy, right?
I didn't hear you. Maybe I didn't hear you, obviously. I didn't hear you.
I can't stand Wemby. Just said it. That's why I have to stop because I have to watch what you say. I said I can't stand Wemby, but you leave out half the story.
No, you leave out half the story.
He's terrible.
No. He elbowed Naz Reid in the face. He took Jalen Brunson's head and he tried to, you know, marry it with the concrete there on the hardwood.
And Mitch Robinson hit him with an elbow, which
okay,
I was
it's called
about.
A receipt. Okay. He got in Jalen Brunson's landing space, which the league is trying to correct and not have that because you can really hurt somebody with that. He skipped the media session after Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals. He didn't shake hands with the
and
Knicks after the loss.
What with your prediction? Enough of that. What about you? How are you?
You know, why are you
that?
So combative all the time, Brett? What is with the? What do you have to be so combative about before all the time?
I've given you compliments before.
When have you ever given me a compliment? Negative, every time you call up, like you either say my voice is too high pitched or whatever. You've never once paid me a compliment.
Oh, I said you're good. You're decent on there.
I'm way better than decent, but I don't know. I never heard you saying that.
Way better.
Way better.
Tommy, you're
no,
good.
Way
when
better.
You're in the afternoons, I promise, I will call you when you got the spotlight. I'll call you and say, okay, you did it. You're great. How's that?
Okay, so it's one of those things where to you,
right
making
now,
the afternoon
right.
drive is like winning
you're
the championship.
You're Phil Jackson right now. You're a sixth player off the bench. Is that fair or am I being mean?
No, it's not fair. I'm a full-time host at WFAN. There'll be more players that play for the Knicks over the next 10 years than I'll ever be a full-time host at WFAN.
But that's different. That, who cares? Maybe I don't want to be a
host. What do you care? You're calling me up at 4:30 in the morning, Brett, on this show, and you're acting like the show doesn't matter. So what does that make you? You're bored. Go to bed then. You're bored.
I'm working. I'm on the road. What do you want me to do?
So, but you're acting. You're like diminishing the show, and you're the one calling it and being a part of it. Yes, you are. You set up a six man.
Good point. You didn't even argue the second best run. I tried to bait you with that. Is it
I don't take your bait, Brad. I'm not here to yell at you. I'm not here to do the run.
The Giants' run was the best run because they were an underdog every game, right? Okay. And it was double-digit underdog.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks were favored 80% of the time. Is that fair? We're happy we haven't won in 53 years, but is that a fair statement? Yes or no?
They were not favored basically in any game in the finals. They were massive underdogs going into that series.
The run. No, then it switched.
They were underdogs in the Atlanta series once they went down 2-1.
Cleveland. Right?
They were underdogs Atlanta, in a couple Cleveland. Games against Cleveland.
Okay, I'm saying they were favored.
What? Well, they only played four games, so I think they were favored in maybe half of them.
Right.
You're saying 80%.
Underdogs in double digits.
But they only play one game in football. You're playing series in basketball.
But they played one game. I'm saying the playoff run. The run to get to the Super Bowl. Each game they were underdog. I think they were wild card, Tommy. See, I give you something to work on here and don't work.
Yeah, what are you going to give me, homework?
Sports talks.
Go ahead.
I'm telling you, it was the best run, the Giants run. Prove me wrong. We're just happy because we won. It's been 53 years, that's all.
No. You're talking about a situation where they won 13 straight playoff games. The margin of victory, which was the highest of all time. And by the way,
the Hawks. We didn't have to play the Pistons or the Celtics.
They would have smoked the Pistons.
Well,
they would have smoked the Celtics. Smoked them.
All right.
Literally embarrassed both of those teams. And if you don't think I'm wrong, then tell
anybody.
Get the Celtics. Put them.
Washed up. They beat them.
Washed up. They're 23 and under. They're star players. What do you mean they washed up?
You just said it before. They won when they beat OKC. They were crying. That's why we won. They were done. They shot their load. They were done.
Brett.
Tommy, I got to go, man. I went circles.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yes, you won circles around me, Brett. And for your prize, you win nothing. You win nothing. And Brett, if you had any, what's the right word? You're trying to get pucks past the goalie. And then you don't, before it even marinates, you like to dance and act like you did. Instead of just letting the conversation breathe, you just keep talking and talking and talking and talking. And then we really don't even have a discussion or argument or anything. And you want me to be like McGlagajagagal and yell and scream at you at the top of my lungs. And if you hear my voice right now, I don't have the ability to get to an 11 right now as far as yelling. (888) 808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is a Loogie here in the late night. Before we go to break, I just want to say this about the Knicks. You know, they've earned the right to run this back. They've earned the right for this entire team to return. I don't want to hear about a second apron. The Knicks can enter the second apron. They can exit the second apron. They wouldn't be handcuffed like other teams that didn't just win the championship would be under the second apron. They deserve the opportunity to defend their crown. Not just the starting five, but Mitchell Robinson, Shamet, Clarkson, Alvarado, everybody involved. And I wouldn't want to break up the chemistry of this team, how connected they are, the experience they have. Through the power of friendship, they won a championship. And I want to keep that friendship going. I don't want to break that friendship up. So I believe this team, from top to bottom, this roster has earned the right, and they deserve the right to defend their crown, defend their championship. And that's why I am all in favor, second apron be damned, of the Knicks completely and utterly running it back. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is a Loogie here in the late night. We got another segment to go, so we'll continue to take your calls. Knick talk here as we lead up to Al and Jerry coming your way at 5 a.m. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. If you want to join the conversation, 888-808-1019. It is After Hours, Loogie in the Late Night, here on The Fan. 449 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
It is After Hours. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. So the estimated number of people that attended the parade was 2 million. And my projection was 3 million to 5 million. And I believe the reason why it didn't reach my expectations and my projection in terms of attendance are a few factors. Number one, people were turned away. The pods got overfilled and early, by the way. I knew several people that ended up just watching the parade at the bar, which is a great seat, too. You got the party in the city all morning, all afternoon, all night. You could be worse places, that's for sure. You also had the, what do they call it, Regents? So how many, on Thursday, statewide? So how many kids were unable to attend the parade because they have to take a test? And I don't think that's one of those tests where you can get a doctor's note and take it the next day. You either take it that day or you don't. And you have to take those to graduate, I think, or do something, that's for sure. I remember taking them, but I don't remember why we took them. But I remember them being a state-ran mandatory the whole nine. So those kids couldn't make it. I'm sure their parents didn't go without their kids, so you have that. And how many people also didn't want to deal with the hassle? They didn't want to get up at 2 in the morning. They didn't want to deal with the crowds. They were almost intimidated by the hype of, I guess, people like me saying there'd be 4 or 5 million people there. And they opted for the couch. They opted for maybe a bar or restaurant locally to watch it on TV. I think if you factor those three groups, that's going to equal at least a million, at least. So it would have gotten to the 3 million part. Probably even more. We were talking about kids across the, they were all taking Regents. The weather was a bit of a factor. Meaning you could have gotten scared off. I mean, there was idiots like Paul Rosenberg, that are fear-mongers that are talking about tornado warnings. I mean, please. I mean, but this is the type of nonsense that he spews on the radio, and people hear that and go, oh my God, there could be a tornado. It's like a tornado. There wasn't even rain, let alone a tornado. It ended up being a beautiful day. By the time the ceremony started at City Hall, the sun was out in full force. But I think those several factors led to the attendance not being what it could have been and should have been. And maybe the Canyon of Heroes, we as a state, as a sports fans around here, we've outgrown that area of the city. And you want the big attendance, you do a weekend. They just don't want to do that for overtime and things of that nature. So I understand that. I respect that. It's probably never going to happen. But it should have hit 5 million. I should have been correct in that prediction, but more importantly, there just should have been more Knick fans there celebrating that. So it's unfortunate. I feel bad for anybody that wasn't able to do it because you were either taking a test, you were parents of somebody taking a test, or you got turned away, or the sheer mass of people that you expected was intimidating and you didn't want to do it, or you didn't want to wake up super early. You don't want to get there at 4 a.m., 5 a.m., stand around for hours, and then stand around for 4 more hours. But I think 5 million people wanted to be there. So if we go with the wanted to be there, the number is 5 million. Speaking of the parade, was Thursday. And now here we are 24 hours or so away from the draft. That's what happens when you win a championship. You go from championship, you go from that to parade to the draft. And the Knicks are actually set up here with a couple of picks. Now, they could ship a pick or two away to grab picks for the next couple of years. Remember, they gave up 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges, which has been, you know, F them picks, by the way. But that has been well-publicized, well-documented. Here's my, and I'll be on it after the Yankees at night, perhaps even with a live reaction to what the Knicks do in the first round. That would be cool. But either way, I'll be on breaking down all the Knicks the Nets pick. So there'll be a lot of draft talk Tuesday night. Here's what I want the Knicks to do, though. I look at high character players. I look at guys that come from good to great programs, played for great, legendary college basketball coaches, hard workers, winners. I look at two players. Zubi Ejiofor, Great character. Great work ethic. Sweet 16 last year with the Johnnies. The Johnnies have now become a winning program. Not a championship winning program, but they've had success with Patino. Especially over the last couple of years with Zuby at the center of that. And then I look at one of the most decorated college basketball players, certainly in recent memory, a guy that went to the Final Four three times, won two championships with UConn, and that, of course, is Alex Karaman. A winning player, makes winning plays, hard worker, tough, played for Hurley, so you know he's tough, mentally tough, physically tough, and I think those are the right high character, hard workers, winners, much like a Jalen Brunson, much like a Josh Hart, Bridges, that have that college pedigree, that have shaped the DNA and culture of the Knicks. Those are the type of guys I want here with the Knicks. They are perfect for the island of misfit toys that the Knicks have created here. Zuby's too short. He's not your prototypical big man in the NBA. Okay, but I know about what type of person he is, and I know what type of player he was at St. John's. Same thing with Karaman. Winner, well-coached, high basketball IQ for both of them. I think Karaman and Zuby would be the perfect additions for the Knicks through the draft here. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. A few more minutes before we hand it off to Al and Jerry on the warm-up show at 5 a.m. And look, the Knick chatter is going to continue. We'll mix in the baseball. I'm going to incorporate football into the chatter over the next couple weeks. I've already laid out my 10-year plan for the Jets. I mean, what did you want it to be, a 3-year plan? A 10-year plan for them to win the Super Bowl, which I think is fair. And I think if you're a Jet fan, you sign up for that. You can't say Jet fan without long and suffering in front of it, but I think 10 years is fair. If they get their Jalen Brunson at quarterback, they can finish over 500, make the playoffs, work their way up, and ultimately get to the Super Bowl. And then I'll be pulling for you, even as a Giant fan. No fan base deserves what the Jet fan has gone through and then to get to the Super Bowl and then lose. They certainly do not deserve that on any level. And I would seek, or I would not receive any sort of satisfaction in watching Jet fans suffer at that level. Not at the highest of levels. That's totally unfair to any fan base. The suffering that the Knick fan that I had to go through forever, nobody should have to go through that. And then certainly the suffering that the Jet fans had to go through, nobody deserves that either. But I'll leave you with this. This will be my last take here. The number one priority for the Knicks this offseason is extending Karl-Anthony Towns. He's up for an extension. I certainly don't see a max extension for him. I hope he takes a page out of the Jalen Brunson playbook, which is taking a hometown discount. But to me, for Leon Rose, for this organization, number one priority, extending Cat. Keeping this starting five together for as long as humanly possible. They've already extended Mikal. OG's not going anywhere. Brunson's not going anywhere. Josh Hart will get extended as well in the future. But Karl-Anthony Towns, who is as important as anybody to this team and to the championship run they just had, I don't want the cloud of, should the Knicks trade him? Is he going to walk away? I don't want that cloud to exist. I don't want it to exist in Cat's head. I don't want it to exist in the minds of the fans either. So to me, top priority, extend Karl-Anthony Towns. And hope that he has the same type of, you know, approach that Jalen Brunson had, which is take less, it's better for the team, which will ultimately better for me. Because Karl-Anthony Towns has been much maligned. He's been much criticized. For him to get another chip, for him to get another championship, especially in New York, that would send his career to the next stratosphere. We're talking about guaranteed Hall of Famer, guaranteed to get your number retired at Madison Square Garden, and you would have multiple championships, which is a legacy that nobody can doubt and nobody can criticize if that were to happen. And where else would you rather have it happen to you than in New York? That'll do it for me. My thanks to all the callers, all the listeners out there. My thanks to Fleegs. We'll talk to you again on After Hours. That's coming up later today. It'll be after the Yankee game, 7:10 start in Detroit. Tuesday, Wednesday, or 6:40, but tomorrow is the normal start time. So we'll have plenty more Knick coverage. We'll talk Mets. We'll talk Yankees. And we'll mix the football in as we kind of navigate through the summer here. Giants obviously being a massive talking point. But the draft is Tuesday night, so a lot of preview for that as well. My thanks once again to the callers, to the listeners, the fleas behind the glass. Alan, Jerry, and the warm-up show come your way. I'll talk to you later on this evening right here on After Hours.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.